This is Weekend Edition on WNYC. I'm David Furst. This month marks a decade since the Supreme Court ruled that corporations and other outside groups could not be restricted from spending money on elections. It led to the growth of super PACs and changed the way campaigns were funded in America. And new analysis of the Citizens United decision by the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU finds that even though some candidates talk a lot about the power of small donations and have sworn off PAC money, the mega donor is more powerful than ever. The center calculates that super PACs have spent almost $3 billion on federal elections in the decades since their creation. Joining us now is Ian Vander Walker, Senior Counsel for the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Ian, isn't 2020 supposed to be the year of the small donor? Candidates like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren brag about being grassroots funded. Here's a little bit of Bernie Sanders on the campaign trail.
I don't need a super PAC. I am not going to be controlled by a handful of wealthy people. I will be controlled by the working people of this country.
Haven't candidates like Sanders demonstrated the power of those small donations?
Yes, it's true. There are going to be a lot of small donations in 2020, and there were a lot in 2018. And some candidates are better than others at focusing on small donors. But what we see is across the entire system, all the money going into federal elections, millions and millions of small donors just can't keep up with the few mega donors who can give in massive amounts that are sort of unimaginable to regular people, $100,000 or $1 million.
So those few mega donors you're talking about, they can just blow all of those small donations right out of the water.
That's right. In 2016, there were just 400 people in all of America who gave more than $1 million, and they provided almost a third of the money going into federal elections.
When you talk about those mega donors, who are you talking about?
Well, there's some of them are marquee names that you hear all the time, people like Tom Steyer, Mike Bloomberg.
And some of those are people who spend money on themselves.
That's right. People spend money on their own campaigns, but then many of them are simply big business owners, the owner of Home Depot, many people from the financial services industry. You know, one of the things people thought was going to happen after Citizens United was corporate money going into elections, and what we've seen instead is these individuals who have made tons of money off of their own corporation giving at the individual level.
Okay, it's been 10 years since Citizens United. What did this decision do, and how have things changed since then?
So Citizens United itself struck down certain limits on corporate and union spending in election. But on the way to doing that, the court's reasoning said, look, outside spending, money that's spent on elections but not given directly to a candidate, can't possibly be corrupting. So there's no reason for the government to limit it. Unfortunately, that created an experiment where we've seen this massive amount of unlimited spending, a lot of it given to super PACs, which are technically independent from candidates, but really sort of run with a wink and a nod to the candidate. And we've seen several corruption scandals. I mean, even more than before, campaign spending has become an arms race where everybody is chasing those few biggest donors. It's a strategic choice, as you said at the outset. Some people do focus more on small donors, but every candidate sees it as an advantage to have the big donors. And big donors have different political goals and different political priorities from everybody else. So those are the things that are getting heard in Washington, D.C.
Now, this week, the Washington Post reported that individual donors are now able to give close to $600,000 a year to President Trump's reelection campaign. And that was made possible by another legal decision back in 2014. Can you explain?
Yes. In 2014, the Supreme Court said that there used to be aggregate limits on the amount each person could give across all political committees in a year. And in 2014, the Supreme Court said that violates the rights of the super rich. They said it violates everybody's rights, but of course, only the super rich can afford to give and the amounts at play. So that created the possibility that, along with some legal changes to the limits on contributions to parties, created the possibility to create these joint fundraising committees where a candidate can ask a single donor for a single check in the amounts that you mentioned. Hillary Clinton definitely did this in 2016. Donald Trump is going to make a lot of hay out of it this year, and so will the eventual Democratic nominee, presumably.
So if your argument, Ian, is that there's just too much big money in politics, what can be done about it now?
Right. So one of the problems that we've seen is that millions of small donors can't keep up with the few big donors just because of how much money they can give. So the reform that we at the Brennan Center support is amplifying or supercharging those small donations from regular people with public funds. So take a multiple match program like ones that exist in New York City and various other jurisdictions around the country. Add public funds to those small donations, make candidates go out and do retail fundraising with real people instead of these phone calls and ritzy fundraisers, and you really change the relationship between candidates and their constituents.
But ultimately, how will those matching systems work if you're up against corporations who can give seemingly an infinite amount of money?
Right. Well, you know, under Citizens United and other decisions, the Supreme Court has said we can't limit the money at the top. So that's sort of off the table as a policy option. So instead, what we want to do is lift up the voices of regular people and give candidates who don't have those wealthy connections, who don't want to be beholden to big donors and special interests, give them a way to fund competitive campaigns, to get their name out there, get their voice out there. They're not going to match the corporations. They're not going to match the super PACs who can give, as you say, infinite amounts, but they're going to run a competitive campaign. They're going to get their message out. They're going to give the voters a real choice.
If you are going up against a candidate like, say, Michael Bloomberg, who is going to spend as much money of his billions as he wants to, how far will that go?
Look, money has a point of diminishing returns, right? If you spend $1 billion on TV ads and you spend, you know, another $1 billion, there's only so many TV ads you can buy. At some point, the voters, you're not changing minds, right? You're not getting more name recognition than you already had. The key for having competitive campaigns where voters have choices and where candidates who aren't rich, basically, can get their name out is getting from no recognition to some recognition, not the same amount of ads as Michael Bloomberg, right? I mean, you're right. That's not a possible goal. But we don't think that's necessary to have competitive elections, to have voter choice, and to have a diverse set of candidates in front of people.
Is there an appetite for a matching program like this to exist at the federal level?
Yes, I think so. The House of Representatives passed a program in H.R. 1, the Omnibus Democracy Package, at the beginning of this Congress. That's not going to go anywhere in this Senate, but we'll see what happens in the next Congress. You know, and it's important to note that that was for members of Congress. There was a matching program in presidential primaries for decades, and virtually every major party candidate participated in it. That went out of favor because essentially the dollar amounts weren't updated for the cost of today's elections.
Ian VandeWalker, Senior Counsel for the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.